pilot. Are you really going to get all cleaned up only to leave that ugly pin in your hair? Could you be less obvious about being peasant trash? We're all peasant trash, I snap under my breath, whipping my glare back to her. Including him. No rich people let their sons be drafted. The noble title, the pretty robes, the fancy jewelry, they're just shiny distractions to make us feel better about dying young, which we will. Maybe that's even why you're trying to irk me, but let me tell you, you should really be spending your limited time better. Go ahead. Feel as classy and dignified as you want. I wiggle my fingers near the silver tassels in her hair. Because the only reason they gave you all this is because you won't need it for long. Frigid silence presses down on us. The beginning of a sob creases Xiao Xufei's forehead and mouth. Guilt squeezes me for an instant. Then she snatches my pin out of my hair. Horror almost slams me to the floor. My gaze veers in a panic. I barely dare to look back, though the pin has miraculously held in one piece. It eases my spiking nerves, but doesn't stop every flux of warmth and adrenaline in me from slowing to cold, dragging shards. I raise my chin, peer down the slope of my nose at this foolish little girl. She gawks at the pin in her hand as if stunned by her own act. She angles away, evading my eyes. I smack the bench with a resounding clang.
I would seriously give that back to her, a chuckling male voice echoes at the doorway. That girl does not seem like one to be messed with.
Our heads turn in sync, but dread breaks over me long before I see him standing there, arms crossed, leaning against the wall. That voice has a special effect on me, scorched into my mind from the interviews and videos my family watched over and over in awe before forcing Big Sister to enlist for him. Here he is, the boy I must kill. Chapter 5. Fatal Mistake. Master, we collectively get up from the bench and bow like we were taught. Even I do it. I say it. I say the word despite how it blisters my mouth like a sizzling ember because it brings me one breath closer to bathing my hands in his blood.
Oh, there's no need for it. Seriously, keeping going.
Yang Guang waves a gauntleted hand at Auntie Do, who's rising behind her screens. He's in his spirit armor, a detached fraction of his chrysalis that he can control without a co-pilot. The amount he's wearing is astounding. Most pilots can only solo command enough spirit metal to cover the parts they want with a porous mesh. His full, solid suit of bristly pieces glitters with an array of greens, as if chiseled out of minerals. A crown made from the same spirit metal glimmers around his head, rough as if furred and flaring sharply like fox ears. Up until 221 years ago, before the various tribes of the Central Plains unified into Huaxia, pilots were warrior kings. They led and defended the permanent settlements that had popped back up after the Yellow Sovereign and his wife, Lei Zhu, invented chrysalises some 7 centuries ago. Supposedly, anyway. Yi Zhi says historians question if they were real people. Everything noble and regal about pilots nowadays is a remnant of this tradition. In front of me, Xiao Shufei trembles so hard, her silver tassels clink with the sound of a drizzle on glass. She wrings my hairpin in both hands. I scream internally. Instinct charges my body with the urge to snatch it back, but I can't risk it. One wrong tug, one flash of the blade inside while Yang Guang is right there, and I'm done for.
Master, Xiao Shufei stammers. We weren't expecting you until later.
He breaks into laughter, clear and bright, and it surges through the chamber like spring water into a tin bucket. He pushes off the wall and strides down from the platform in front of the doorway. His spirit armor clatters, and the long fox fur cape knotted over his shoulder guards whispers above the metal stairs. In the hollow of his green crown,
A tall bronze headpiece adorns his impeccable topknot. If he were a regular boy, he wouldn't be allowed to tie all his hair up until he turns 20. But the coming-of-age traditions don't apply to pilots. They all wear their hair like grown men. Though he's only 19, he's already ranked colonel, meaning he served for over 5 years. But the Army will probably give him a big celebration anyway when he turns... No, what am I talking about? He won't turn 20. Ever.
What can I say?
Dimples curl into his cheeks as he closes in.
I just couldn't wait to find out what lovely new girls are coming into my watchtower. But I hope you weren't using this as a last chance to cause trouble.
No, Xiao Shufei jumps. We were just...
There will only be trouble if that hairpin isn't back in this hand in the next 3 seconds. I hold out a palm. It's too late to put on any of the fake personalities I've been trying on in my head. She practically jams the pin into my palm. It's slick with her sweat. Ugh. Thank you. I slide it back through my fox ear hairdo, striving to seem much calmer than I really am. Yang Guang reaches us, close enough to strangle. It really gets me how boyish he looks. Slender jaw, mischievous grin, dazzling eyes. My heart judders seeing the two circlets of his crown, a constant reminder that every pilot is searching for his one true match. The other girls look transfixed as well, and I know we're all imagining the same thing. Him morphing one of the circlets into a second crown and placing it on one of our heads in a lavish match crowning. One of my most vivid memories is of swooning in sync with the other village girls as we huddled around the big screen we were temporarily allowed to watch one such broadcast on. That was when I didn't know any better. I shake the fantasy from my head.
So, Yang Guang gazes right into my eyes. Do you terrorize people often, beautiful?
Only if they piss me off first, I say nonchalantly, though my pulse pounds harder, rising through my body.
This is Consort Wu,
Auntie Do staggers over, beaming, despite the tilt table still squeaking and thudding the poor girl on the platform. My gut clenches tighter at her bringing attention to my family name, though it's pretty common in the Shui and Tang provinces. I can't tell if Yang Guang has made a connection to my sister. He wouldn't talk about it if he did. No one talks about dead concubines. I'm counting on him to not even consider the possibility that a girl would doom 3 generations of her family to take his life.
Consort?
He blinks and squints at me. His irises light up, neon yellow. I flinch, despite knowing it's just a sign of his qi conducting through the spirit metal of his armor. Having only glimpsed pilots on screens all my life has made them seem like fantastical beings that aren't quite real, but this is definitely not computer-generated.
Yes, I feel it now,
he nods, eyes waving golden light in the dimness.
That's a pretty big spirit pressure.
Huh. His luminous gaze slides over me like melting honey.
You really are an interesting one.
Auntie Do glances knowingly between him and me.
So, young master, are you here to choose your companion for your shift?
Oh, I think I've found her.
He offers his armored hand to me, the golden rings of his irises beaming brighter. I tense away the tremors in my fingers as I place them in his, bare flesh on warm metal. My insides roil like I'm back on the tilt table. I'm touching him. Touching the hand that ended Big Sister's life. I came here with a head full of blade glints and murder, yet he's smiling at me like I'm another plaything ready to please him. A grin crawls up my face. Xiao Shufei's head is bowed, but I catch her flustered yet fuming expression and feel a twinge of pity. He's not worth it, I want to tell her. I'll show you. But my smirk disappears the next second when the strength of his grip curls around my fingers. There is no possible way I could overpower him while he's awake. I'll have to wait until he's asleep. Before I do any throat slitting, I am going to have to be his plaything. In the aerial promo shots I've seen of the Shui Tang frontier, the watchtowers are built just outside the Great Wall, at the foot of the final mountains before the flat plains of the Hunduan Wilds. A chrysalis crouches ahead of each tower. While on active duty, pilots live in the saucer-shaped lofts at the top of their assigned towers, which jut out like rounded cliffs over their chrysalises. Yang Guan takes me to his loft by elevator, a thing I thankfully won't have to get used to. It's like a creaking metal casket being wheeled up by demon spirits. He carries me, armored hands bunching my gauzy robes against my shoulder and thighs, arms like heated iron clamps around my body. I couldn't say no when he scooped me up, given the rule against reacting negatively to his touch. When the elevator finally clatters to a halt and groans open, I realize I've been latching onto him too tightly, my forearm digging into the orange-brown fur of his cape. My panting breaths gust right against the fine angle of his jaw. I loosen my grip, cheeks heating painfully. "It's fine," I tell myself while swallowing the hot shame. It adds to my act, and anything that furthers my plan is not a wrong move. Silver starlight soaks the round loft and splashes over the furniture inside. With the month's new moon not yet reincarnated into the night, the stars flicker like a sea of pinprick flames in the floor-to-ceiling windows. Beneath them, the barren Hunduan wilds race all the way to the jagged black hints of mountains on the horizon. A shiver goes through me at the thought of being beyond the Great Wall's protection. But if I went to the window and looked down, I'd be able to see, with my own eyes, the beacon of human resistance that is the nine-tailed fox, and maybe other chrysalises as well. A buoyant feeling rises in my chest. Then guilt spears through it. No, I can't think about the war. It can't matter to me. Not when I'm here to kill one of Huaxia's strongest defenders. Yang Guan briefly lifts his hand from my shoulders to flip a brass switch. A ring of painted lanterns blinks on around the ceiling, banishing the stars and sending the wilds into darkness. I can't help but glance around as he carries me over the reed mats on the floor. I've never been anywhere so clean, artful, and pristine. There's a couch of carved red wood and a huge screen in front of the windows. A dining table in the middle of the open space with discs of jade hanging over it. An altar to Qiyo, the god of war, against a rounded, brushed steel wall with incense sticking up in an offering bowl. Silk curtains on a curved railing. I yank my gaze away, skin flashing hot and cold. The bed must be behind there. My eyelids flutter as if I'm drunk, and I catch Yang Guan gazing down at me. Fluorescent lantern light arcs over his soaring bronze headpiece and dances across his mineral green crown and armor as he walks. He flashes that dimpled smile of his, then sets me down on the cushions of the couch. Some part of my mind is still crackling, like parched wood thrown into a fire, reaching for survival, trying to figure out how I could run away after plunging a blade through his neck. But it's just illogical instinct. What is there to hope for? Look on the bright side, I tell myself. After this, I can die. Finally. Being alive has been painful, exhausting, and disappointing. There's a rustling as Yang Guang unfastens his fur cape. He drapes it over the carved back of the couch and sits down beside me. His armored weight crushes the cushion almost to the bottom, making it slope beneath me.
"So you're pretty cynical about this piloting business, huh?" he says.
"And what if I am?" I manage to react in time without stuttering.
"Well,"
a golden radiance rouses in his eyes again. A small web of yellow light cracks across his breastplate. With a slight scraping noise, spirit metal spirals and rises from it, forming a rough blossom. My jaw slackens.
"I get where you're coming from, but it can be pretty magical, don't you think?"
He plucks the blossom. It remains connected to his armor, to his control, by a thin tether. He offers it to me with a small, almost embarrassed smile. I let out a humoring laugh while taking the blossom, but hammer a reminder into my mind that this is not magic. It's just his qi pumping into his armor via hair-thin needles in his spine, stimulating the spirit metal. Like everything else in the world, qi and spirit metal, which is just qi in pure crystallized form, are governed by the five subdivisions of yin and yang: wood, fire, earth, metal, and water. From most yang to most yin in that order. They're more metaphorical than literal, and interact with each other in countless combinations. The nine-tailed fox was made from a wood-type huindun husk, which doesn't mean it looks anything like lumber, but that it's very conductive and dynamic, like how trees grow on and everywhere. When Yang Guan influences his armor with the golden earth qi dominant in his body, the kind of vital force that provides balance and stability, of course he can churn out constructs easily. It's nothing too impressive. Despite trying to douse myself in logic, however, I struggle to keep my cool being this close to him. My every cell hums with not only alarm, but something else. Frantically, I look for distractions from the strange tension tightening around us. My attention snags on a cluster of hotly beaming electronic posters at one end of the windows. On the biggest one, a tiny silhouetted figure stands at the apex of a golden, winding dragon raising one finger to the heavens. It's Qing Jin, the only Emperor-class pilot outside of legend, who had a spirit pressure that was straight up untestable with the equipment 2 centuries ago. The authority of his power was what ensured Huaxia's unification. Yet because he suddenly succumbed to flower pox, a plague going around back then, he left a power vacuum between humans and Huinduins that led to the fall of the Zhou province. That was enough to convince people at last that having pilots as actual rulers was a terrible and outdated idea. So now they're just celebrity soldiers with fancy titles. Hey, do you think it's really possible that Emperor General Qing froze himself in the yellow dragon to wait for a cure for his pox? I ask to change the topic, touching the spirit metal blossom to Yang Guan's breastplate. The blossom wheels back with a surge of yellow light, smoothing out as if it never existed. Yang Guan's demeanor turns serious. Well, they do say his water qi was so cold he could instantly freeze whole herds of Huinduins without even touching them, so the possibility is definitely there. The problem would be keeping up an endless supply of qi. But there's Mount Zhurong, isn't there? You know, the volcano in the Kunlun Mountains? I've heard strategists theorize that the yellow dragon could have been sturdy enough to be dipped into the magma beneath it without melting. That's like soaking right in the qi of the planet, then. Yang Guan's air traces the winding body of the dragon on the poster. So he really could be lying at the Zhou frontier just waiting for someone to wake him up? Have the strategists managed to check? No. Nothing can fly that far out with Huinduins all over the place, but I swear. Yang Guan leans closer to me, expression darkening. It won't be long before we take the province back. You mean a counterattack is finally happening? I blink fast, breathing hard to contain the thumping in my chest at his proximity. Hopefully. The balance of power is tipping in our favor, ever since Li Shiming showed up. Oh, I say, hollow and quiet. I know. Yang Guan sucks his teeth. No one's happy that a family killer like him is the strongest of us. But there are things more important than a single person's issues. His gaze swings back to the poster of Qing Jin. There are still some of our own people out there in Zhou, hiding like Rongdi, waiting for salvation. With our current forces, we've never had a better chance of setting them free. A wave of sickness sweeps through me, crawling under my face. I push to my feet, unable to sit in place any longer. I stagger toward the poster of Qing Jin under the guise of paying it more reverence. A pile of tiny things on the desk nearby catches my eye. They turn out to be pieces of a half-assembled chrysalis model made of wood, glass, and metal. a high-end model kit sold by the games division of Yi-Zhi's father's company. Beside the desk, there's a glass cabinet full of these finished figures. I spin in a panic. I can't look at them. They make me imagine Yang Guan buying the model kits and assembling the pieces with a boyish fervor, and it makes everything so much more confusing. I thought I was sure about the kind of person he is. By the way, Yi-Zhi froze stiff when I told him my sister had been whisked into his watchtower reserves. By the black eye she carried during the only video call my family had with her, a bruise she claimed she got from walking into a drone. By the way, she died without any alert of her falling ill. But this whole time, Yang Guan has shown no sign of being a monster who would murder a concubine outside of battle. Did I make a mistake? Have I assumed wrong? If I've assumed wrong, I'd be dooming not only myself and my family for no reason, but this hope of taking back the Zhou province. I've heard bad things about him. Yi-Zhi's hushed words flit through my head. But unusually, a second part drifts along. Though he did turn down several media contracts with father's company, so I might be hearing biased opinions. I swear, Tian Tian, I really did run into a drone. Big sister's voice further clutters my mind. Everything's going too fast. I stumble aimlessly, so distraught I forget to avoid my reflection in the windows. It stops me dead. This is the first time I've seen myself since Yi-Zhi groomed my brows 2 days ago. Oval face pale and flawless with powder. Watery eyes looking twice their usual size thanks to black liner and peach shadow. Button nose contoured thin and straight. Lips painted like lacquered rose petals. I look as beautiful as everyone told me I'd look if I conform to their standards. I look as beautiful as Big Sister was. Yang Guan comes up behind me with a gentle smile. We look as though we could be on a poster too, the charming Iron Prince and his lovely concubine, except for the wooden hairpin in my swirling fox ear hairdo. I touched a crudely carved pin, gifted to me years ago by Big Sister, and then secretly modified by me into a weapon. I hate to admit it, but Xiao Shufei was right. It does look horribly out of place. Say, what's the story behind this? Yang Guan lays his fingers over mine, touching the pin as well. I seize up. Thankfully, the looseness of my robes hides the hint of panic. Focus, I command myself. He must have killed Big Sister. Who else could have gotten away with it? Is that really what you want to spend all night talking about? Hairpins? I move my hand to his face, finding his cheek while staring at our reflections in the window. I can't believe how smooth I sound. I can't believe how heated my gaze can be. His lips part in surprise. He leans down, almost nuzzling my ear. You tell everything like it is. I love that. The heat of his breath on the shell of my ear triggers something visceral in my body. My muscles tighten, as if pulled by a string. My breaths shallow and quicken. My blood rushes to startling places, and I have to clench down my surprise. Do you now? I say, a shadow of sound. His interest travels to our reflections again. There's something special about you. You see more than most girls. Most of them are so shy, so dodgy about the things in their minds. Not you. You own right up to them. You have no idea. I caress his lips, though what I really want to touch is his crown. I hate the way I've contorted myself into what people think a girl should be, ready to please, ready to serve. Yet I love the power it's given me, a power that lies in being underestimated, in wearing assumptions as a disguise. He takes my hand and kisses the pads of my fingers. With a long-weighted sigh, I turn in his arms and cup his face the way I did Yi-Zhi's this morning. It aches me how this is not happening with him instead, but my body is mine and mine alone. I have chosen to use it for murder and vengeance, and I will succeed by any means necessary. I draw Yang Guan down into the second kiss of my life. It's less gentle, less timid,
less chaste. When the hot blade of his tongue parts my lips, I can't help the gasp that rushes out of me. His mouth moves more aggressively than before, scattering my mind. His armored hand runs down my back, making me feel every crease of my robes against my skin. My head lolls as he scoops me into his arms again. His steps rustle over reed mats and toward the silk curtains veiling the bed. So this is it. This is happening. The thing my family has only ever spoken of as the utmost crime. The surrender of what is supposedly the most precious gift I could give to a boy. At least I'll find out what the big deal is before I kill us both. All I feel is heat by the time Yang Guang lowers me onto his bed. It's set inside an elaborate carved wood frame, like a tall dresser with a round opening. My hair tassels tinkle against the cool silk sheets. He climbs on after, knees denting the mattress on either side of me. His metallic scent huddles me. I become hyper-aware of how he is still in his spirit armor. I wonder how a pilot takes it off, if he'd have to use his hands, or if it would slip off like a real chrysalis at his mental command. He kisses a trail down my neck. I reflexively arch my head back. Tingles scurry like electricity through my body, switching on sensations I didn't know I could feel, threatening to undo me. I bite back a whimper. I don't want to lose control. But if I want him to drop his guard for the night, I'll have to. I imagine that it's Yi Zhi touching me, kissing me, and I dare to relax a little, even as my heart pounds against my ribs like it's trying to escape a burning cage. Hazily, I stare at the lantern light glowing through the carved grapevines on the bed frame. I could be diffusing into steam. Then Yang Guang pulls back, brushes my chin with his knuckle and looks me in the eyes.
Are you sure about this, curious girl? He whispers.
I snap out of my trance and out of my resolve, my certainty. My mouth moves, but nothing comes out. Are you really the one who killed my sister? Is a question I must not ask, yet direly need to find the answer to. I search his eyes. They need to stop being so sincere. I need to make up my mind. I need to. An alarm fractures my thoughts. Blaring. Red light screams down from the ceiling. Yang Guang curses, lurching up. Huinduins. Chapter 6. Let's Dance. No. No. There was just an attack on this stretch of the wall 2 days ago. This is not supposed to happen. Why is this happening? Yang Guang checks something on a wristlet, its small screen blanching his face. Then he draws me up in the bed.
It's okay. He rubs my shoulders while I stare at him in a daze. It's going to be okay. Believe in me. Believe in us.
Us. When called to battle, a pilot must take whichever concubine is closest to him. I scream, scrambling from the bed.
No, calm down,
he wrenches me back. Pain detonates across my side as I tumble into the bed frame, but I don't stop screaming. I don't stop kicking, thrashing, and biting at him. With a heavy sigh, he slams me face first to the mattress and presses his knee into my spine. My shrieks deform into a croak under his weight.
Sorry about this.
He ties my struggling arms with my robe garland. I gasp and choke, cheeks scuffing on a growing patch of tears on the sheets. Makeup rubs off on the stain. A drawer opens, rummaging, a slick, tearing noise. His hand comes around and slaps a wide piece of tape over my mouth. No matter how I try to scream, the sound can no longer escape. In my moment of shock, he hulls me over his shoulder. I wheeze for air through my nose alone. My legs flail uselessly against his armor. Hairpins drop onto the reed mats. My eyes are too flooded to catch if my killer pin is among them. Tears blaze down my cheeks and dampen the top edge of the tape. With me bound and struggling, he runs through the curtains to a pole behind the couch. He grabs the pole, then kicks at a ring of metallic pieces at its base, sliding the ring open.
The musk of the wilds whooshes in on a gritty wind. Faint yellow light streams over a gridded steel bridge below. He hooks one leg around the pole, grabs it with one hand, and leaps. His armored grip scrapes sparks out of the pole as we plummet into the earth-scented night. The concrete of the watchtower rushes behind us. He lands with a concussive force that rings through the whole bridge. At the other end of the bridge, gleaming like green mineral under the stars, so big it doesn't seem possible, is the back of the nine-tailed fox's head. The rest of it goes on beneath the bridge, perched in dormant form, nine tails curling like tulip petals around its body. I've watched clips of it in battle. I've seen it crush house-sized Huinduins with one claw. I've snarled at promo shots of Yangguan posing on its head, braced against an ear as tall as himself. Beneath him, the glowing, slanted slit of one eye has always barely made it into frame. But none of that has prepared me for this. Dread carves ever deeper into my gut, yet my squirming and my smothered cries do nothing to stop Yangguan's momentum. He clanks across the bridge and yanks open a hatch on the back of the fox's head. The yin and yang seats are faintly visible in the dark round cockpit, one low, one high, one black, one white, arranged like one lover embracing another from behind. The fox's second suit of spirit armor lies open on the lower yin seat, the pieces wide and slightly curved. It's not meant to protect me. It's meant to trap me, just like so many girls before. Another muffled scream strains against my lungs. Yangguan drops me to my feet, sending a burst of pain up my legs and tears my robes off. The night chill presses in around my body, naked but for my small clothes. I try to cover myself, but my arms are still bound, trapping the shredded remnants of my robes. He tosses the tattered fabric aside and forces me into the yin seat's armor pieces. Cold spirit metal smacks into the back of my thighs. Terror surging to an animalistic height, I kick and flounder. He drops into the young seat without letting go of me. His golden earth tea lights up through his armor and sweeps across the green cockpit walls like autumn decay across foliage. "Come on, don't make this so difficult," he says through gritted teeth. "There's an invasion coming." With his heels, he presses my bare legs into the greaves of my set of armor. The pieces snap close at his mental command, unmovable. It frees him to untie my arms and pin them into the gauntlets on the armrests. Those ensnare me as well, and he jerks me back. My spine collides with a column of icy pinpoints, the connection needles, about to bore into me. Spots rush in from the edges of my vision, brighter than the cockpit. A ringing pitch sharpens through my skull. My stomach convulses uncontrollably. I strain to get enough air through my nose, but I can't. I can't move. I can't scream. I can't do anything. The rest of the armor pieces crawl and click into place around my body. His legs settle on either side of my seat. His chest presses against its back. His armored fingers lace into mine with unchallengeable firmness. "Don't be afraid," he whispers in my ear over my shoulder. "Let's dance." The needles pierce my spine. Chapter 7. Into the Jungle. My eyes open to a thick, dripping canopy of leaves. The air is humid with pungent heat. It stuffs up my mind, making it sluggish and slow. When I shift my arms, slimy vines latch to them. Unseen wings bat through the foliage, rustling it. Wet croaks come faintly from the shadows. What in the skies is this? Where am I? I shift harder against the vines. Warm slime gurgles around my limbs. Auntie Doe's voice croons out of my foggy thoughts like a jungle spirit. "Sometimes you may find yourself in a mind realm,
a dreamlike manifestation of your pilot master's subconscious.
Dream? This feels way too real to be one. My chest grows suffocatingly tight. I can barely breathe the jungle musk. Strange, flesh-colored fruits prod out between oozing bundles of vines. Goose flesh crawls across my shoulders.
Help!
A child's voice pleads in the overgrown nightmare.
Help me!
I lurch up so violently I finally tear one of the vines. I'm coming! The reassurance dies on my tongue.
Follow your instincts to soothe the mind realm.
That's also something Auntie Do said, advice probably given to every concubine pilot. So it must not be the way to survive. I have to do the opposite. I have to. My train of thought derails, spinning and crashing. I try to hold on, but some kind of pulling force makes it impossible to concentrate. Where am I? What am I doing here?
Help!
A child cries through the dense growth.
Please!
Right, he needs my help. Twisting and stomping, I wrestle myself out of the tangle of vines. Warm slime sticks to me. I push through the vines to get to the boy, stepping through slick ooze. As his whimpers get close, my hand accidentally brushes a flesh-colored fruit into thick greenery. A memory flashes in my head. One of a girl. One second she's smiling, the next she's whimpering. My hand bounces away. I trip and collapse against the vines, yet the confusion makes me come to my senses. That memory was not mine. I'm in Yang Guang's mind realm. How did I forget that? The flesh-colored fruit stares back at me like a pupilless eye in the greenery. Was that one of his concubines? My awareness whips across the jungle of other fleshy fruits. I smack my hand on another. It's a memory of a different girl. When I press my hand harder against a fruit, more memories of her pour toward me like leaves slapping my face as I tumble through a forest. There's something special about you. You see more than most girls. For a second, I think the sound is misplaced, jumbled in from Yang Guan's memory of me. But the girl reacts to the words. She blushes, turning away. A hand from the memory's point of view brushes a strand of stray hair behind her ear. My body goes prickling cold. With tingling fingers, I go for another fruit. I go for all the ones I can reach. It can be pretty magical, don't you think? Are you sure about this, curious girl? It's going to be okay. Believe in me. Believe in us. The spirit metal flower appears over and over, same lines, same moves, different girls. Sickness overwhelms me, but I push further for a definitive sign that this is far from the worst he's capable of. When I finally wrench out a memory of him grabbing a girl by her hair and smashing her face against a wall, I get my proof. My existence goes hollow. I crumple down, huddling my head. My own memories lacerate through me, the moments where I doubted myself because of the warmth he stirred up in me. I double over and retch, though nothing comes out of whatever my body is right now.
Help me!
The child pleads again, suddenly right next to me. My head snaps up. It's him, but much, much younger.
Help me!
He says with vacant, haunted eyes.
I can't get out of here.
His voice is small, but it washes through me like a cleansing tide. It threatens to scatter my rationality again. The memories of the girls float away from me like stray lotus petals heading toward a waterfall. But I must not let them go. I must remember them. With a howl, I seize the boy's neck and slam him down over the vines. This is your mind, I crush his throat. You're the one who trapped yourself.
He gags and shrieks, but I don't let go.
Even when everything screams for me to have mercy and that I can't kill a child, I tighten my grip. Every passing second, I force myself to remember how concubine pilots die. Their minds get so absorbed into the male pilots that the moment the battle link breaks, they can no longer sustain their own heartbeats. That's what'll happen to me if I show any mercy. As the light leaves his eyes, the realm destabilizes. Vines disintegrate, rotting to pools of foul muck. Fleshy fruits sink down and disappear. I scream as I'm flayed apart as well, bones shattering, muscles snapping, skin peeling. My spirit, set free, rushes up and away. I blink. In the next instant, I'm standing in a far more abstract realm, face to face with Yang Guang at his proper age. There's only black and white around us, yin and yang. Me on the black yin side, him on the white yang side. Something solid like glass glistens beneath our feet. The sounds of battle, of clashing spirit metal, echoes distantly, though I can't see anything in the real world. The phantom sensation of moving in the nine-tailed fox hovers around my mind, but a repressive force prevents me from influencing it. What? Yang Guang gawks around at the realm, then at me. You actually made it out. My mouth opens and closes. I gaze down at what seems to be a spirit form of myself, trying to make sense of this. But you came here to kill me. His eyes narrow, fuming with black rage. I bristle. I went into his mind. Of course he could have also riffled through mine. Well then, no need to hide anymore. You murdered my sister. I aim a fist at his face. He recoils, but chains shoot up from the ground and wrap around my legs, my waist, my arms, my neck. Shock wavers on his face, then he makes a swatting motion with his hand. With a harsh tug, the chains crash me to my knees and curl me over so I'm prostrate before him. Right where black meets white. He breathes heavily, though a grin curls his mouth as I struggle against the chains. Cautiously, he drops to one knee, observing me. No wonder you were so eager to be with me. His voice goes soft and low, almost a little sad. He lifts my chin with an armored hand. The chain around my neck jerks straight. Fury scorches through me. Chain links burn into the back of my neck and strangle my limbs, seeming to get more solid the more I resist. But none of this is real, so how is he binding me? And why is he wearing spirit armor while I'm not? My physical body is in the same setup, so that must have nothing to do with it. My eyes strain wide, tracing every contour of his spirit armor. If he can create stuff in here, why can't I? As far as I can tell, this is his first time in this realm too. What exactly is the difference between his mind and mine? There really is something different about you, he murmurs, tilting his head. I wish I could have had you. We would have made such a great pair. He strokes my cheek. It's too bad you have to die. Slowly, I meet his eyes. It dawns on me that although this is nowhere close to any of my fantasies, this is the moment I've been waiting for since learning of Big Sister's passing 83 days ago. I remember the way I dropped a basket of freshly collected eggs when the world-ending words speared through me, the way all strength left my body, the way my father grabbed my hair, and ground my face into the shattered eggs out of his blinding anger over us not being eligible for a war-death compensation. For the 83 days since then,
This confrontation with Yang Guang has consistently occupied a portion of my consciousness, thrumming like a second heartbeat, playing out in 10,000 different ways. All of that just to die trapped in his arms, naked and bound and silenced? Big Sister would not forgive me. I clench my mind around the spirit form I'm taking. Then with a scream I've wanted to let out for every smothering second of the past 83 days, I summon all the strength I believed I would have in this moment. The same armor contours as his burst out of my skin. He staggers back, mouth popping open. I push off the ground. The chains strain against me, then shatter. The spirit armor flickers on my body. He's trying to vanish it. This must be a duel of minds, a realm manifested and maintained by both our imaginations across the battle link. All it takes to create anything is willpower. Luckily for me, he's sidetracked by Hun Dun's. I'm not. Roaring a war cry as further distraction, I charge toward him. "Stay back!" he yelps, hand flashing open. A clear barrier slams against me, stopping me from crossing to the white Yang side. A frenzied smile of relief cracks across his face. But if I can make anything I want, I slap my breastplate, focus, and reach, the way I've seen chrysalises pull weapons out of their chests where the bulk of their spirit metal is. Light fissures under my hand. White light, the color of metal qi, which represents forces of firmness, persistence, precision, and control. This must be what's dominant inside me. It's perfect for sculpting razor-sharp weapons out of spirit metal. My fingers claw into my breastplate, grabbing hold of a hilt. I rip a dagger out of my chest in a spray of white sparks. With a vigorous swing, I drive the dagger into the barrier protecting Yang Guang from me. Cracks spiderweb across it, then it explodes into 10,000 brilliant shards. I dash through the crystalline downpour with a speed and stride I could never manage in real life.
"No, don't!"
He backs away. Vaguely like reliving a memory of a sensation, I feel the nine-tailed fox stumble in its steps somewhere beyond this realm.
"I'm in the middle of battle. You'll kill us both."
"Good!"
I shriek without losing momentum. I slam him down by his throat, just like I did his child self. I plunge my dagger into his neck the way I dreamed so long and so often of doing. His screams gurgle, though there is no blood. Laughing uncontrollably, I keep stabbing and stabbing and stabbing. Warmth fills me, unraveling me again. The sensations of the nine-tailed fox press closer and sharper against me. Yang Guan's mind falters in keeping me from reaching for it. I'm jarred into a chaotic battlefield under the blazing stars. My senses are all foreign and wrong and different, but I think I have taken control of the fox. Chapter 8. Welcome to Your Nightmare. Icy starlight gleams off a dozen chrysalises fighting a herd of Hun Dun's, wrestling and punching and stabbing and firing luminous qi blasts. Shadowy clouds of dust shudder out of the earth under their every booming step. The view is disorienting, too different from my normal vision. Wider in a freakish way, like someone's ripped my eyelids away. I try to squeeze my eyes shut. I can't. Terror singes through me. I can't close my eyes, can't blink, can't shut the world out even for a millisecond. Sounds bombard me too, shouts seeming to erupt right inside my head.
"Nine-tailed fox! Nine-tailed fox! Respond! Colonel Yang, what's wrong?"
By instinct, I go to cover my ears. but my arms are so heavy, the attempt makes the world gyrate around me. I only get my hands, my paws, to my torso level. They each end in three large claws, mineral green and tipped with golden yellow. I look down. The fox, collapsed to one knee, has been taken to its bipedal, ascended form at some point during my stint in Yangguan's mind realm. The edges of its normally wood-type spirit metal have been temporarily transmuted to earth-type. It's become lanky and skeletal, as if it's made of filed shards and long stilts. Its waist is tiny compared to its shield-shaped chest. A collar of green and gold spikes has jutted up from its shoulders. I can feel more than I can see 9 solid tails shooting up from the base of its back. Waves of Yangguan's golden earth qi pump beneath its fur-textured surface, sustaining the transformation. But it's passive, no longer a threat. He must be lost in whatever my own mind realm is. His qi is mine to control. If I could figure out how.
Colonel Yang, are you having connection problems?
A white chrysalis shouts in front of me, less than half my size. It's the moon rabbit, a count class chrysalis. As a metal type, it's got clean contours and a porcelain smooth surface. Its head and hind legs are disproportionately large, and its ears slash up like cleavers. With a pestle-like weapon, it pummels a swarm of Huinduins skittering toward us like humongous beetles. Their qi-filled cores snap like firecrackers as they die.
Colonel?
The moon rabbit cries again over its shoulder, eyes beaming like rubies, small mouth leaking its male pilot's fire-red qi into the night to make sound. I don't know how to answer. Literally, I don't know how to speak. When I think hard about the fox's pointy jaw, I manage to creak it open, but I've got no lungs. No air comes out, and no voice, as if I'm underwater. The moon rabbit isn't killing the Huinduins fast enough. They reach us like rivers of insects. Countless tiny legs scurry up the fox, mottling its backlit metal fur, gripping me with crawling pricks of sensation. Tiny sparks of light pop from them as they try to do damage with qi. The fox's jaw gapes in a soundless scream. I've seen chrysalises get overwhelmed this way. If they get to the fox's head, they will burrow into the cockpit and then kill my physical body. I go to smack them away, but each movement churns my consciousness like a migraine. The Huinduins spread onto the fox's arms and back. I scramble to claw and swat and pry them off.
Colonel Yang, for sky's sake, give a response!
The voices in my head grow more frenetic.
What is going on in there?
Shut up! I want to scream. It must take qi to form a voice, but I don't know how to channel it, and I can't concentrate with everything that's going on. To make matters worse, flies start to buzz around the fox's head. Wait, not flies, camera drones. Drones that should be as big as a person's torso are whirring around me as swirling black dots. Something about this makes the current size I'm embodying crash land into perspective more than anything else. My mind spins with panic. This is too much. Way too much. I need to scream. I need to breathe. I need to speak. I need to blink. My eyes are burning. Too late. I realize an actual pressure has built up behind them. 2 beams of cold, metal white qi shoot from the fox's eyes. The rays smash into the ground, continuous, zigzagging in my bewilderment. They blind my vision, though I can hear Huinduins exploding in the sweep. The voices in my head get louder and noisier, rambling about ineffectiveness and wasting qi, but I ignore them, making myself calm down. This is a start. I can do this, control this. I mentally feel for where the blasts are coming from. Locating that precise origin of qi from mine and Yangguan's bodies, the connection needles in our spines. I retract the flow from the fox's eyes back there, then shunt a new surge of qi toward the incessant voices. The blast destroys something. There's a violent popping noise, a buzz, fading. Sweet silence in my head. Silent enough to physically hear the metallic Huindun leg scratching at the fox's shoulders, trying to get past its collar of spikes. I rush back to whacking and ripping them off.
Colonel!
The moon rabbit speaks up while continuing to batter Huindun's like it's pounding medicine in a mortar. Its male pilot's fire qi, the qi of power and destruction, glows within its pestle like an ember behind milky glass, boosting its damage.
The strategists are asking why you just threw out your command speakers.
Oh, so that's what I did.
Seriously, Colonel, what in the skies is happening with...
The sea of Huindun's ripples apart. A dark red, rough-textured mass, smaller than the fox, but bigger than the moon rabbit. A Duke-class Huindun then lunges toward us on six insectoid legs. Its own fire-red glow swells like an evil eye beneath its rough surface. With a strangled cry, the moon rabbit springs up on its hind legs and raises its pestle. The pestle spreads into a curved shield just in time to endure the volcanic blast of red qi. The collision point quivers and expands, frothing wider and brighter. The moon rabbit's hind paws sink backward into the earth. Common Huindun's pour up its white surface, like giant, multicolored cockroaches on porcelain. I frantically rake them off us both.
Xingtian, come help!
The moon rabbit screeches.
I think Colonel Yang is stuck!
The ground shudders with slow, incoming stomps. There's a glint and a massive groan of metal. Then a golden axe smashes into the Duke-class Huindun. Its qi blast sputters out, and it lumbers sideways, but it's not dead. The moon rabbit falters as well, shield deformed by ugly melted rings.
What's wrong with Colonel Yang?
The new chrysalis yells while lifting its axe with another hefty creak. It's a sluggish and bulky earth type that sizes up to the Duke-class Huindun. Eyes glowing on its chest, mouth shifting on its belly. It's the headless warrior. The moon rabbit morphs its shield back into a pestle.
I don't know, but this is gonna get bad if he doesn't recover. I think I'm gonna have to transform too.
My spirit quakes in my chrysalis. Transforming to a higher form is the most common trigger of concubine pilot deaths. Willpower honing to a dagger-sharp point, I crush the fox's claws around the moon rabbit's neck and force it to look at me. Its jaw drops, and its red eyes gleam brighter, flickering. Even without lungs, without air, my voice can't be contained any longer.
No more killing girls,
I growl, a demonic sound that belongs in a nightmare.
Then do something, Colonel!
Yes, I have to end this battle. I release the moon rabbit and use the same claw to push off the ground, rising to full height. Spirit metal whines, my senses strain and waver and sway, and Huindun's keep crawling over the fox's every surface, but I tense through it all and take a first step. It doesn't hurt. A surreal euphoria courses through me. Infinite possibilities open to me at once. That's right. I'm no longer human. I've been set free from my broken body. That husk of flesh and bone that has been prepared all its existence to be used for the whims and pleasures of men. No, I am now the nine-tailed fox, a war machine taller than an eight-story building. I don't need to blink, don't need to breathe. A whirlwind could come howling in and I wouldn't budge. An earthquake could shake the ground and I wouldn't teeter. I am the force that quakes the earth. Step by thunderous step, I get used to commanding this enormous form. The pesky common Huinduans fall off by themselves when my movements grow vigorous. As I pound toward the Duke-class Huinduan, I reach back and pry off one of the fox's tail lances. I wish I'd been stronger before this day. Strong enough to have watched more of Yangguan's battle footage, so I'd have a better idea now of what to do. The last thing I remember seeing is him taking a running jump and plunging a lance straight through a Huinduan core. That's what I copy when I reach the Duke-class Huinduan. My lance whistles through the air and punctures its hull. The spirit metal makes a sound like a thousand windows shattering. Everything shudders. But the lance is less sharp than I would have liked, and I must have missed the core, where its sentience is rooted. As it pushes back, an overwhelming wave of emotion racks through me. Grief, sadness, anger. I berate myself for the overreaction. But the moment I stumble back, lance scraping out of the Huinduan, the feelings vanish. It's beyond weird, but I've got no time to dwell on it. A red glow ignites as the Huinduan charges another chi blast. I lurch aside. The red beam chases me, sweeping through the night. It only cuts off when the headless warrior stuns the Huinduan with its axe. All right, this won't work. Something's been off this whole time. The fox evolved to fit Yangguang. My qi attributes are completely different. I have to create my own form. As the moon rabbit joins forces with the headless warrior, clobbering the Huinduan with its pestle, I reach for the spark of transformation that must exist inside me. Being wood type, the most conductive of qi, the fox should be the easiest kind of chrysalis to propel into higher forms. In the legends told lovingly to my brother, the word Huinduan originally referred to a being of primordial chaos. One day, its divine friends took pity on its lack of senses and decided to chisel eyes, ears, nostrils, and a mouth into it. The Huinduan ended up dying, yet a new universe poured from its new orifices. That is exactly what chrysalises are, Huinduans transformed with human potential, which I bet they never saw coming when they came down from the skies to conquer our world. A firm pressure pulses up to the fox's jagged surfaces. White radiance cracks across them. Oh! The moon rabbit gapes at me while hopping to dodge a pounce by the Duke-class Huinduan. Heroic form! The headless warrior cries in delight through its belly mouth. Heroic form! I've only seen chrysalises go to this form, a third-level transformation when piloted by a balanced match. But that's just because the girl can consciously control the spirit metal as well. Me adding to Yangguan's existing transformation should have the same effect. Impulses of fissuring light that solidify into smoother spirit metal, the fox's limbs expand with my qi. White highlights join the yellow ones, forcing the pieces into sleeker shapes, the way timber can be carved and shaped by metal blades. Heroic forms are named after how humanoid they tend to be, but they're also more machine-esque, like a person wearing robotic armor. As I imagine what that should look like for the fox, its stilt legs turn bulky and sturdy. Its three clawed paws jut into five clawed hands. Its fox ears thrust farther back and become more sharp and angular, like they belong on a helmet. Its collar of spikes bulges and flares into several layers of shoulder guards. Its overall height keeps stuttering up, up, up until it's almost a quarter taller. Its nine tails, including the one held in its hand, engorge into something more than lances. Something more like shotguns. The Duke-class Hunduin now seems so much punier. After the transformation pressure fades from the fox, I follow my instincts and aim my detached tail gun. It hums coldly in my hands, then metal white tea stammers out like luminous bullets. They pelt into the Hunduin, driving it back from my comrades. Exhilaration washes through me, but I know I can be more precise. Metal tea is all about precision. Pilots are supposed to be able to sense spirit pressures. Across the distance, I feel out the Hunduin's core, that luminous, pulsing seed of life that drives it to terrorize us. I aim again, more patiently this time, building up a single ray of concentrated chi. I fire. The ray rips out with a recoil force. It tears clean through the Hunduin, taking out its core in a firework of red light. Cheers for Yang Guang erupt from the other chrysalises. I'd laugh if I didn't have a battle to win. I stomp through the herd with much hardier steps than before, rocking the earth, juddering up a burst of dust and a pulse of common Hunduins wherever I land. Brief surges of foreign anguish shoot through me as the fox crushes the Hunduins, but they become easy to ignore. I fire my tail gun at every big noble-class Hunduin I see. Once they're dead, the little common ones will be easy to take care of. My transformation boosts the morale of the other chrysalises. They punch harder. Strike deeper. Elated howls and shining chi blasts tear through the night air. Sparks fly as Hunduin cores fizzle out. Above us, the silver river arches like a stardust dragon across the cosmos. After my fifth shot, my deafening steps fall unsteady. My mind wobbles like when I first emerged into the fox. Heroic form can be sustained for only a few minutes. I'm almost drained of qi. I scan the battlefield with both sight and spirit sense. One last noble Hunduin, huge and imposing, the way only earth types can be. But that type is too dense to do external qi attacks, so a few smaller chrysalises are crowding around it at a distance, trying to take it down with radiant blasts. For a moment, I contemplate letting them handle it. I shouldn't push myself any further. I will actually die if I run out of qi. But what if this exact moment of laziness causes a concubine pilot to die?
Move!
I howl. The chrysalises do. I strain out one last shot. A streaking white ray. A spurt of yellow sparks. The Hunduin staggers on its six tiny legs, then buckles with an earth-shaking force, rocking the surrounding chrysalises and engulfing them in a storm of dust. Then, I can't hold on to the fox any longer. It collapses into its bestial standard form. My mind plunges backward into darkness. The pain in my feet is the first human sensation that returns to me, pinching my nerves alive. Muffled, distant cheers swim into my head.
That was amazing! I can't believe! So freaking boss!
A flowing white light in the cockpit wall sways into my view. My breathing rustles over the tear-loosened tape on my mouth. My heart beats in my chest like an intrusive object. But not as intrusive as Yang Guan's fingers still laced between mine. I flinch. My armored hands, previously fused to my seat, detach at my will like I'm ripping off magnets. His arms slip from mine and clink to either side of his seat, limp. A cold calm mutes my emotions. This time, when my eyes burn, it's because I forgot that I have to blink. Carefully, I detach the whole of my armor from my seat, then pivot to face him. Yang Guan's eyes are open, but glazed over. His head lolls to one side. Trails of blood, black in the dimness, run from his ears and nostrils. I feel for a pulse on his neck. Nothing.
Yo, Colonel Liang! The strategists are freaking out for some reason!
The headless warrior's gravelly voice and thunderous steps boom closer.
Are you okay in there?
I stare blankly at Yang Guan's face. I imagine slapping it, punching it, lacerating his flesh in ribbons off his bones. But he's so puny compared to the Hunduans. I just flick him on the cheek. Nothing feels real. I'm not sure if I'm a human who was piloting a chrysalis or a chrysalis now piloting a human. The whir of drone rotors intensifies outside the cockpit, buzzing the spirit metal. The headless warrior keeps calling for this boy, this corpse that will never hear him again. I rip the tape from my mouth. It stings, but it's nothing compared to the pain that shoots from my feet when I put weight on them. A pain that is so much worse now that I've felt what it's like to be free from it. But I have to get out, show myself, confess to what I've done, figure out how it happened at all. The whole length of my spine feels alive with a cool liquid flow. Vacantly, I examine my gauntleted arms, watching my concentrated metal chi stream white under the furred texture. Clenching my fists, I propel the chi through the soles of the armor and into the fox itself. It gives me some basic control over the colossus of spirit metal. I mentally pry open a gash in the cockpit right between the fox's eyes. Lights pour in. A cluster of camera drones whiz outside, now normal-sized, eager to get the victory shot of the new Iron Prince and Iron Princess. Instead, I use my armor-boosted strength and steadiness to carry out Yang Guan's lifeless body. Floodlights from a dozen camera drones pin me, so bright I can't see anything else. Suddenly, like a dam shattering open, emotions crash back through my body. I imagine the audience's reaction to this, and a hysterical laugh bubbles up from my belly. It becomes all I'm capable of. I drop Yang Guan in front of me and set a tiny lotus foot on his corpse. What do you know? I really did kill him. I lift my head, an unhinged grin on my face. The whipping winds from the drone's round rotor wings blow my fox-ear hairdo apart. Black hair hurls back like serpents from my head. Another tide of chi surges from my spine and into my armor. I've seen pilots conducting their chi at full intensity for photo ops, so I know that my eyes and the chi meridians in my face, like a second, more angular set of veins, must be blazing silver white. You've been living a dream for long enough! I yell at the cameras between bursts of maniacal laughter, raising my arms.
Welcome to your nightmare!
Chapter 9. Strongest of Them All. Orange safety lights rip past me as I'm dragged from a shuttle on top of the Great Wall. A short platform stretching through the air leads to a watchtower much bigger than Yang Guang's. It must be the Kai Huan Watchtower, command center of the Shui Tang Frontier. The Shui province is tiny but rich, so it pools its resources with the huge Tang province in matters of defense. The male pilots of the Moon Rabbit and the Headless Warrior, comrades who protected me selflessly on the battlefield, each twist one of my arms behind my back like they're trying to snap them off. The pressure in my shoulders pushes close to popping. They herd me faster than I can go, making the eternally broken bones in my feet grind like glass shards. Bloodstains bloom on my concubine's shoes. The robes Yang Guan tore off me dangle on my body like rotten drapes. After being forced to ditch my spirit armor, The mangled fabric was the only thing I could use to cover myself. Even so, it hardly does the job, exposing much of my skin to the pilots and four regular soldiers transporting me. We squeeze into an elevator in the watchtower. At least three guns remain trained on me. Someone's shouting into a headset. I don't know what they're so afraid of. Now that my adrenaline's gone, and the exhaustion of using so much of my chi has set in, I'm just a broken little girl who has to be held up to keep from collapsing. Yet with my low, weak voice, I forced him to think about what happened just now, what I myself have trouble believing. It was me, you know. I utter like a curse into the elevator squeaking, my voice rasping from all my screaming before the battle. Me, who unlocked the fox's heroic form. Me, who took out all those Hunduins. Me, who was fighting at your side. They ignore me. It's like I'm nothing but dangerous cargo they must get from one point to another. But I know they're unsettled. They must be. With a smirk, I relive the utter horror on their faces when they checked Yangguan's corpse and confirmed that he's deader than dead. After the doors open, I'm wrestled through concrete corridors and into a white room full of glowing screens. Two men await me on the biggest screen, both wearing blue-gray robes with crisp, wide sleeves. Tall, boxy scholar hats rise from their heads, made of gauze stiffened with black paint. Yangguan's comrades shove me to my knees.
"Commanders," says Xing Tian, pilot of the Headless Warrior. A hefty golden crown rests on his brow, double-banded, jutting up at the sides in the shape of axes. His voice shakes with barely contained rage.
"This is her. Let her move," says the taller man on the screen, waving a white feather fan.
The iconic object makes me realize he's Zhuge Liang, the army's chief strategist, basically its top commander.
"There's no need to treat her like that. She killed... We are sure of nothing until questioning is done and data is analyzed. Now please, leave the room. All of you."
Hands release me. Boots stomp away. I brace against the cold white tiles, unbound hair spilling haphazardly over my half-naked body. The door slams shut, trapping me with the strategists on the screens. After Chief Strategist Zhuge introduces himself, as if he's not so famous that everyone in Huaxia basically worships him, the shorter man beside him clasps one hand in front of the other and bows the way pretentious elites do.
"Sima Yi, senior strategist of the Human Liberation Army," he says, his blue-gray sleeves closing before him like a curtain. He seems to be smirking when he straightens, but he must just have a crooked mouth. He can't possibly be happy. One of his best pilots is dead.
"You can't kill me," I blurt. I didn't plan on living past tonight, but if there's a chance, it'd be silly not to go for it.
"I took the nine-tailed fox to a new form. The Hunduins would have definitely sensed it. They're going to attack more often and with bigger herds," I say, thinking of the sequence of events that led to the fall of the Zhou province. "Hunduins get riled up when they sense the power balance tipping. Emperor General Qin Zhen got so powerful that the Hunduins congregated desperately, risking a whole replication nest to take him down. But he caught the pox before the confrontation. The army couldn't fill the power vacuum in time, so when the attack came, what was supposed to be a fierce battle turned into an easy win for the Hunduins. Thus, they breached the Great Wall and took the whole province. Plus, I heard you guys are contemplating a counterattack on Zhou. I bet you were counting on Yangguang. I can replace him. You saw how I piloted the nine-tailed fox."
"Huh." Sima Yi's mouth quirks farther up. "This one knows how to haggle."
Chief Strategist Zhuge shoots him a tired look, then addresses me.
Please remain calm, Consort Wu. We just want to ask you a few questions.
Like what? I glare at them through a narrow gap in my hair. They ask me if I deliberately held back during the spirit pressure exam, if I'm related to any powerful pilots, what I did in Yangguan's mind realm. My lips mash together at the last question. It's dangerous, but I won't find out what's going on with me unless I tell the truth. I strangled his kid form in his creepy jungle realm and then stabbed his grown form over 15 times. Chief Strategist Zhuge's waving feather fan stops against his pristine robes. A beat.
And why did you do that, dear?
Now is the time to lie. It's in my best interests to pretend like I didn't start off with a vengeance plan. I saw some of his memories, the horrible things he did to his concubines. My stare hardens. Things the army honestly should have known. Sima Yi frowns.
You saw a bunch of memories, so you killed what appeared to be a child? How did you know it was him?
What do you mean? It was his mind realm. Who else could it have been?
Hold on. So even when you were in the mind realm and had been inside for a while, you were perfectly aware that it wasn't real?
I had to keep reminding myself, but yes.
And then you broke out by force. Nothing in the realm guided you?
No, I snarl. I just wanted him to pay.
Sir,
Sima Yi peers at Chief Strategist Zhuge, then back